We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and we shall read again verse 13. Luke 18 and verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus never told a more important parable than this one. It gives a great insight into the Christian religion. It tells us what true Christianity is all about. And it draws a stark contrast between righteousness and self-righteousness, between faith and works, between salvation and religiosity. I used to see this parable as particularly addressed to the unconverted, a kind of evangelistic parable, and it's certainly that. But it's also hugely important for the Christian, even for the old Christian. And indeed, the older I get, the more I feel constrained to use the prayer of the sinner. And I can envisage myself on my deathbed praying that prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Sadly, in this life, we never get beyond being sinners. And the older we grow, particularly the older we are in the Christian life, the more we see ourselves as sinners. God be merciful to me, a sinner. So what I'd like to do this morning is to look first at the similarities between the two men set before us here, the Pharisee and the publican, and then to look at the contrasts between the two. So first of all, the similarities. And you might think, well, there's really no similarity. Who could be more different than a Pharisee and a publican? They're two opposites. And yet, there are many similarities. For one thing, both the Pharisee and the publican are creatures. Creatures of God, created by him. Created in his own image, rational creatures, spiritual creatures, creatures created for eternity. Both the Pharisee and the publican are creatures of God, dependent upon God, responsible to God, going to be judged by God. And it's so important for us to realize this. We're not independent beings. God made this world. God made us. He made us to glorify and enjoy himself. We belong to him. And we are to glorify him and to serve him. We are his creatures. Every one of us. And every man and woman in this world has that in common. Creatures of God, created in his image to glorify and enjoy him. But then a second similarity is that they were both children of Adam. children of Adam. That is, not just creatures, but fallen creatures. Not just men and women made in the image of God, but men and women who have sinned against God, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We are all of us children of Adam. We have this in common. Every man and woman that's born into this world is a born sinner. Every man and woman born into this world is born dead. Spiritually dead. Dead to God. Dead to spiritual things. Fallen, rebellious, sinful. Every man and woman has sinned against God. And every man and woman has fallen. And in that sense, we are born sinners. The third similarity between these two men is that they were both children of Abraham. That is the covenant community. They were Israelites. They had been circumcised. In that sense, they were those who to whom God had said to Abraham, I will be a God to you and to your seed after you. Your God and your family's God. It's a wonderful thing to belong to the covenant community. They weren't pagans. They weren't Gentiles. They weren't outsiders. They were children of Abraham. Privileged, blessed in that sense. And you and I, who have been born into the church and who are baptized within the church, we have upon us also the token of God's covenant of grace. We have been marked as God's covenant people. And that is a great privilege. I will be a God to you and to your people and to your children after you. Our God and our children's God. And to be within that covenant community is to be highly privileged. A further similarity is that they both believed in God. There's lots of people in the world today and they deny the existence of God. But both these men, they weren't atheists. They believed in God. They believed there was a God. They believed that they were responsible to God. And that's a big thing in itself. And you believe in God too. And that's a big thing to believe in God. We should all believe in God because it's obvious that there is a God. The heavens tell us that there's a God. You look at the stars in the sky and they speak to us about God. You look at the sun and the moon. You look at the trees and you look at the flowers and you look at the animals and you look at one another. And there's so many things telling us there's a creator God. There's a God who made us, to whom we are responsible. And deep down in the hearts of each one of us, there's a little voice, a voice of conscience that's telling us there is a God. There is a God. You are in the presence of this God. You are answerable to this God. So they both believe in God. Another similarity is that they both feel the need to pray. Do you pray? I'm sure you do. Lots of people pray. And it's a good thing to pray earnestly. to pray with meaning, to pray to the living and true God, to pray to the God who's able to answer prayer. Sometimes God answers us through the Bible. Sometimes he answers us in his providence. There's lots of ways in which God answers our prayers, but both these men prayed. They both felt the need to pray. Another similarity is that they both went up to the temple to worship. There's many in our society who say they believe in God and that they pray, but they never go to church. They say there's a God, they believe in God, and they pray to God, and they say, oh, I often talk to God, and I tell God how I feel, and I ask God for help. But they never come to worship God. They never publicly acknowledge God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. In the past, the vast majority of people came to church and worshipped God. Today we live in a society where people have turned their back upon the church. They don't worship God. But these two men, both of them, they both felt the need to go to the temple, to go to the house of God, to worship God. A further similarity is that they were both very religious. The Pharisees, they were very religious people. God meant a lot to them. Their religion meant a lot to them. They invested a lot of time and energy in their religion. And here we see the publican. And he has newly become religious as well. And he's very concerned and he's very earnest about his religion. So we find here two men who are serious about their religion. Are you serious about your religion? Or is it just a passing concern, abstract interest? And we could say one further thing about them. One further similarity is that they both wanted to go to heaven. You know, when we die, there's two places. There's heaven and there's hell. Some people go to heaven and some people go to hell. But both these men, the Pharisee and the publican, wanted to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? What do you do about it? Well, that leads us then, secondly, to look at the contrasts between these two men. And the contrasts are indeed great. First, we see the contrast between them and their past lives. The Pharisee had always been good living. He'd always been upright. He'd always been moral. He'd always been respectable. He'd always been religious. He always prayed and went to church and all these sort of things. All these things were important to him. But the publican, he had been living quite a different life. He had been living a sinful life. Publicans were tax collectors for the Roman Empire, for the Roman oppressors. The Romans had conquered the land of Palestine and they employed these Jewish men as tax collectors. And these tax collectors were hated by the Jews. They were seen as traitors. They were regarded as thieves. They would charge higher amounts so that they could make themselves very rich through being tax collectors. They were fraudulent people, and everyone knew them as frauds. Remember Zacchaeus, the publican? He was very rich. And when he was converted, do you remember what he said? He said, from now on, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He was basically admitting that he had been taking money from people that he shouldn't. And now he's saying, I'm going to restore to these people that I've been stealing from, I'm going to restore them four times as much. So the Pharisee never committed adultery, never involved in stealing, kept the Sabbath, good living, and the publican, a thief and a liar and a sinner. A covetous man, thou shalt not covet. The love of money is the root of all evil, and the great motivation that the tax collectors had was the love of money. It was a way to become rich quickly. So, a contrast. The Pharisee, good living. The publican, a sinner. Another contrast is that the Pharisee was highly respected. His neighbors thought a lot of him. The rabbis in the church thought a lot of him. The chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the Jews, they all looked up to this Pharisee, this good-living, respectable Pharisee. But the publican, that was another matter. He was hated, despised, looked down on, thought of as a big sinner, a horrible person. So there's a contrast. The Pharisee respected, the publican hated, despised. Another contrast is that the Pharisee trusted in himself that he was righteous. And despised others. Verse 9. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. He was self-righteous. That's what it means to be self-righteous. To trust in your own goodness. To think, well, I'm quite a good person. I'm an upright person. I try my best. I do what I can. I live a good life. He was proud of his life. You notice that again, how it's stressed in verse 14. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee was one that exalteth himself. He made a big one of himself. He was proud. He was sticking out his chest, as it were, and saying, look at me. Think of me. See what such a good person I am. What a respectable person I am. What a good living person. What an upright person I am. He trusted in himself that he was righteous. And he was proud of his own righteousness. Whereas the publican, he knew that he was a sinner. And he had no trust in himself. He had nothing that he could look to. And he had been humbled. Felt really humble. He saw his own guilt. He saw his own sinfulness. The Pharisee, we're told here, lists his good works. Notice what he says. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So you notice how he despises others. How he compares himself with others. And he says, there's lots in this world far worse than me. I'm not that bad a person. I'm really quite a good person. Think of all that I do. I fast twice a week. That's amazing. 2 days every week he would go without food and spend the day in prayer. What an amazing religious man he was, fasting 2 days a week. He would give tithes, a tenth of his income, but not just a tenth of his income. He says, I give tithes of all that I possess. So his income, and then he would value his possessions, his house and his land, and he would give a tenth of that value also to the temple, to the church. He trusted himself that he was righteous. He despised others. He compared himself favorably with others. And he's able to list all his good works. I'm not as other men are, extortioners, frauds, embezzling money from others, stealing money from others. I'm not unjust, sinful, wicked. I'm not an adulterer. I've always been faithful to my wife. I'm not as this publican here. I know him. I know the kind of life he lived. I'm not like him. I'm a far better person than him. He trusted in himself that he was righteous, and he despised others. Are you like that? Trusting in your own righteousness, trying your best, doing what you can, impressed with your own goodness, Sabbath keeping, prayers, grace at mealtime, family worship, coming to church regularly. Are you looking to these things? Looking to your religious activities and your moral activities, the things you do and the things that you don't do? What a contrast then, the publican. He doesn't trust in himself. He doesn't look to himself. He's not proud of himself. He's ashamed of himself. He doesn't despise others, but he despises himself. He doesn't compare himself favorably with others, but rather unfavorably. And then we see the contrast in their body language, as it were. The one is confident. We're told that the Pharisee stood there and prayed. But we're told about the publican that he stood afar off, and he would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, his head hanging down, and he beats upon his breast. Alas, 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 a sinner, a wretch. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm a horrible person. I've done all the things that I shouldn't do. I'm so wicked. I deserve nothing. I'm a horrible person. Everybody's better than me. I'm the chief of sinners. The Pharisee proud, the publican humble. The Pharisee confident, standing there, speaking forth his prayer. And the publican standing afar off, with his eyes down, beating upon his breast. Another contrast. The Pharisee isn't really praying for anything. He has a long prayer, but there's no petition in it. He's not really wanting anything because he feels he's got everything. He feels everything's fine. He's doing well, doing really well. I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. A long, eloquent prayer, but really there's no petition in it. He's not asking for anything. Doesn't feel any need. What a contrast then, the publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican really prays. He asks for mercy. And then there's one other contrast. One other contrast that's not really all that obvious in the English. It's not obvious at all. But the publican, when he prays, he says, God be merciful. The word that's used for mercy there is quite different for the word that's used for mercy in verse 39 of this chapter. Verse 39, we have the blind man in Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, and he cries out, God, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But the word that the publican uses is, be propitious to me. Apply to me the sacrifice. They were up at the temple. People gathered in the temple in the morning and in the afternoon, because in the morning there was the sacrifice, the daily sacrifice offered, and then in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, the second daily sacrifice. A lamb was offered morning and afternoon. And here they are in the temple, and the priests are offering the lamb. And by faith, the publican sees that lamb dying there and thinks, I'm a sinner deserving to die. I need a savior. I need a sacrifice. I need Calvary. I need Jesus to die for me. Be propitious unto me. Be my Savior, Lord Jesus. You remember how John the Baptist described Jesus? He said, behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And here's the sinner, the publican, and he's crying, Lamb of God, take away my sins. The publican focuses on the sacrifice. He feels his need of the blood, his need of a savior, his need of the cross. Do you feel your need of a savior, of the blood, of the cross? Are you looking to the cross of Christ? The Pharisee has no appreciation of the cross. The Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests had no need for a Messiah who would die on the cross. They thought it ridiculous. They thought it crazy that the Messiah should die on the cross. They were looking for a Messiah who would be a king, who would lead them to victory and give them an earthly kingdom. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus' primary purpose in coming into this world was to die on the cross, to offer himself as a sacrifice for sinners, to make peace between God and man. The publican focuses on the sacrifice. Another contrast you can see is in the earnestness of the two. You can imagine the Pharisee there praying in a kind of
bored sort of way. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican here. Fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And so he was going on. And there was the publican there, beating his breast and crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's so earnest. Such a contrast. Really earnest. It's not just empty words or vain repetitions. And then you notice the final contrast. Jesus says, the one went to his house justified rather than the other. The publican, he went home justified. What is justification? An act of God's grace wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Justification is pardon and acceptance. And the Pharisee was not pardoned and accepted. He didn't even ask for pardon. But the publican, the horrid, sinful publican, God had mercy upon him, pardoned him, and accepted him. Have you been justified? Have your sins been pardoned? Remember, we're all born sinners. And no matter how good living we are, we can't get to heaven on the basis of our good living. The only way we can be saved is through God having mercy on us. Through Christ washing away our sins in his blood. Through the Holy Spirit opening our eyes, convincing us of our sinfulness, showing us the way of salvation, the way of righteousness through Christ, working faith in us and repentance. That's the only way of salvation. So you see the great contrast. The Pharisee thinking all was well, and everybody else thinking he's a good man and he's on his way to heaven. But actually, in hell he opened his eyes, being in torments. What a shock. And there's many, many a Pharisee today who'll get a terrible shock when they open their eyes in hell. But in heaven there'll be many a publican. There'll be many a sinner. Many a covetous man, many a liar, many a thief, many an adulterer, many a murderer will get to heaven. Because if we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus, our sins are washed away. But if we never repent, we'll never be saved. So we have here then a great prayer. Have you prayed this prayer? I was taught this as my first prayer. My mother taught it to me when I was a little child. And I used to pray it and I didn't really think about what it said. It was just empty words to me. But I used to say this prayer. And then one day it dawned on me what I was saying. And then the more I went on in life, the more I used this prayer. And today I constantly use this prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's a wonderful thing to put our faith, our hope, our confidence in Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a promise there. A promise to the one who earnestly comes praying this prayer, that they will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And when you're saved, you're not to stop using this prayer. You're to carry on using the prayer every day of your life. God be merciful to me, a sinner.